Hey, it's Wednesday, March 16th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
Joyce, and this is Everything Digital Podcast. This intro music is from Bingo Palace. This is Whistle Me Higher. So I'm working at a new screen resolution today, 1280 by 1024. just realized my monitor went to that screen resolution, so obviously I switched to it. So it's a 17-inch monitor, and it's somewhat far away from me, so things are a little smaller now and a little harder to see. But overall, it's been great because, usually I've got all sorts of windows going when I'm podcasting. I got the GarageBand on the bottom, and that's usually half off the screen. I got, the line in, getting all the microphone and the, playing through the audio from the computer, and I got all the QuickTime windows and the, and of course the show notes. But now it all fits perfectly, because it's such high resolution. And I can see what I'm actually recording in GarageBand. I couldn't see that before because I had all the QuickTime windows tiled over it. So, works much better. And really liking that. But, hey, let's go to those 5 second news headlines. No, I'm not getting ahead of myself and expanding on this. All right, here we go. The courts have allowed Apple to force three Mac enthusiast sites to reveal the sources from which they obtained their insider information. Intel has developed a new version of its MMX multimedia technology that incorporates 64-bit extensions for improved video on cell phones. And a satellite recently launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, is the first step in the deployment of Inmarsat's Broadband Global Area Network. A Louisiana virus writer was sentenced to prison for introducing a program that caused web TV systems to dial 911 unexpectedly. Also, Intel is reporting to be planning price cuts on their Pentium M processors, the base chips for the company's Centrino lineup. Those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Alright, so first thing I want to talk about today is, it's about podcasting. It's this new service that's popped up, podshow.com. You may have heard of it pretty much anywhere. You could listen to any podcast, and I bet they're talking about this, so I'll try to not talk about it too much because I know it's probably made the rounds. But I think it's interesting. It's definitely going to be popular. That would be a tree. A little tongue-tied tonight. It's definitely going to be popular. And, of course, since Adam Curry's running it, they got the little intro on the site that has Adam Curry in it that will naturally draw people to it, sort of as some already established credibility. But my main complaint is, what is it? We hear like, oh, well, we're getting a lot of talent. It's going to be everybody can, you know, be part of this global network. Well, but what does it actually do? I mean, I guess we're going to hear some more announcements in the coming days. But what is its definitive purpose? I just see for producers, for listeners, for advertisers. Well, what's it going to provide for them? So, anyway, I'm subscribed to the email alerts, and also I'm subscribed to their RSS feed, so I'll let you know if anything new comes through on either of those, but definitely there's gotta be something pretty substantial behind the service, because everyone's making a really big deal out of it, so I guess, I guess that will become apparent in the coming days or weeks or however long it takes to uncover more of this pod show story. But moving on, I popped onto Google News earlier and noticed that now you can customize it. There's a little box on the right-hand side, and it says customize this page or edit the customization of this page if you've already customized it. And basically, you can drag around the sections of the page, and it implements, of course, it's Google, so it's this nice little JavaScript that allows you to actually drag around the different sections and place them. But the neatest thing is you can create your own sections. So when you go to Google News, instead of having the usual, you know, top stories, health, technology, national, world, you know, all the usual sections, you can have keyword-based sections. So, like, when I go to mine, it's got the top stories at the top, and then it's got, on the left, it's got science, technology, and on the right, it's got podcasting. So when there's a new story with the keyword of podcasting, it pops up in the little podcasting category, which I think is pretty great. It's getting towards that Google Grid concept that that most of you have probably seen that Flash movie that anticipates a Google Grid where everything is customized for every individual user, including the news. So every single user gets to choose what type of bias they want their news to include, and then all the news comes to them with sort of that slant on it. So, interesting concept, and it's not quite to that point, but it's definitely pretty impressive, and definitely something worth checking out. So, news.google.com, there's a link in the show notes, not that hard to type into your browser, and there's a link on Google's homepage. So, get out there and customize your news. The AIM terms of service have really been kind of shaky lately, or at least AOL has been shaky regarding them. Last weekend, AOL changed the terms of service to say you waive any right to privacy, which freaked a lot of people out, obviously. So then AOL started saying, well, no, we're not recording all the conversations or anything like that, because that would just be a strain on our servers, and we don't need to. However, you know, it's upsetting. So AOL came out with an announcement, and they said that they were going to make other linguistic changes to clarify things, including removing that line, according to an AOL spokesperson. So apparently, or at least they'd like us to think that that it was just improper wording and that wasn't what they really meant. But if the public hadn't protested, would they have been recording the AIM conversations? Definitely a breach of privacy, but they have the right to do that. So I guess there's some programs can do encryption, which is good, but you know, keep an eye on that because, well, a lot of companies I know use AIM to communicate, you know, trade secrets and different things they wouldn't want leaked to the public or to AOL. I could imagine a competing company with AOL talking about their product or their new product lineup that hasn't been announced, and AOL seeing that conversation. Of course, they'd probably be smarter than to use AOL service to talk about their competing technology. Apple may be working on a two-button mouse. According to Apple Insider, Apple is feverishly working on a two-button mouse design. It will apparently be wireless and optical, and Apple is trying to appeal to Windows users switching over to the Mac Mini with this new design, which is fairly, well, seems to be implemented across their lineup right now. They're doing a lot to try and appeal to those Windows users, which is good. I'm fine with that, just as long as it doesn't go too far to the point where they start almost turning into Windows and doing things the Windows way, or too much the Windows way. But as long as it's just to sort of get people over, and I'm fine with a two-button mouse. I think that's great. I thought the one-button mouse design was one of the biggest flaws. So that's good. And apparently, one source says that Jaws will drop when the mouse is announced. So definitely something to look forward to. And you know, Apple, they're they've always got some revolutionary product when it comes to a new step for them. So we can expect them to revolutionize the world of two-button mouses. All right, here's some non-RIAA music. This is from Beta Blocka, GarageBand.com. This is Scared, the Difference Between.
One word, contradiction. It's absurd to think you know the difference between your wars and your religion. A decision left to you, to me. You take apart the things you know they told you when you're young. You never made your mind alone. The rest is up to you. Please tell me now you know the difference between these wars and your religion. A decision left to you, not me, it's not me. You take apart the things you know they told you when you're young. You never.
Scared, the Difference Between, from Beta Blocka, of course, off GarageBand.com. So I've been getting some weird emails from Circuit City concerning the PSP. I signed up to receive an alert when they were accepting pre-orders for it. And I received the alert, but then I clicked the link in it, and it didn't go anywhere. It went to an error page on Circuit City. And then moments after getting that email, I got another one that says, "Dear valued customer, because of a system error, you may have recently received a back-in-stock email from us for the Sony PSP. This product will not be released, and this product will not be released and available to order until Thursday, March 24th. At that time, you may place an order through this page." And then they give me a link. Again, we apologize for any confusion. Please visit the above link on March 24th if you wish to order. Thank you for choosing CircuitCity.com. I'm not sure what to make of this. Maybe they thought they had some PSPs in stock, and then they actually didn't. Maybe it really was a system error. But, of course, there's definitely some weirdness going on with the PSP right now because so many people want it. So it was in back order, and then we'll talk about later. But Sony found a way to get more PSPs to America, and means bad news for Europeans. So anyway, don't know what to make of it. I'll definitely see on March 24th whether they've got them or not, and I don't know. I may wait for prices to drop or go to freepsps.com, which seemed to pop up a couple weeks ago, before it was even announced, or obviously before it was released in the U.S. So I don't know how they're getting their free PSPs. Because I think they claim their American edition, but anyway, moving on. There has been some talk about why the iTunes phone, the iTunes Motorola combination phone, why it hasn't been officially announced. Motorola was going to make an announcement, but then it was called off at the last minute. Well, Motorola CEO Ed Zander has said that Steve Jobs didn't want to announce the phone if it wouldn't be on the market for several months. Zander says Apple usually announces new products right before they can be bought, while cell phone companies announce products months in advance. So an interesting sort of clash between the industries there, and apparently when they're working on a joint project, they can't exactly agree upon how to do things. But overall, I think the iTunes phone is going to be very cool, and hopefully will arrive soon. But looks like a couple months. They said, yeah, it's not going to be on the market for several months, but don't know when the announcement's going to be made. But the good news is that it wasn't a problem with the carriers, because there was a lot of talk about whether the carriers were going to be happy with this or not, because, well, they'd want to sell their own music rather than Apple selling it through iTunes. But apparently the carriers are okay with it, and I heard somewhere that Apple is the one negotiating with the carriers, and Motorola is kind of out of that loop. Definitely something to look forward to, and partnership between Apple and Motorola, definitely something to keep an eye on. Another thing, and this is what I was talking about earlier, the PSP has been postponed in Europe. Sony has delayed the European release of the PSP to the point where there is, quote-unquote, no firm date set for its launch. The delay is a result of increasing demand for the console in the U.S. Sony wants to ensure a steady flow of PSPs into the U.S. beginning March 24th. So, they're, well, I guess they didn't think they'd sell as many in Europe, so all that stock is just going to the U.S., which is good news for us, but really bad news for Europe. And an interesting move by Sony, because you'd think they'd want to sort of get more consoles in more places so that more people would start talking about it and, you know, recommending it to friends and more people would start seeing other people have them, and then they'd want them. So you'd think, you know, better spread would be more important than enough in one place for everybody to buy one. But I guess they're sort of going for this initial burst of press and burst of excitement about the PSP and all leading up to its March 24th release date in the U.S. And they're sort of betting on that to sell so many that it doesn't really matter. They'll just outsell all their expectations, and it won't really matter how it does on a global scale, just as long as in the U.S. it's, you know, they sell them out. And they probably will. And we'll have to keep an eye on that. But really, really amazing revolution in the console industry. And Nintendo is really going to have to play some catch-up, because the DS is just... looking at it side by side with the PSP, it's easy to tell which one's the better and more elegant and more powerful console. So, Google could be opening up Gmail. On Tuesday, random visitors to Google's main page were invited to try Gmail via a text link on the page. Current GMO users, of course, are still being supplied with a steady flow of 50 or more invites each, and those who signed up to a list to receive notices of developments concerning Gmail have now received invites via email. So, interesting that Gmail's opening up, and the only thing left to happen is for gmail.google.com, if you go to that address and you don't have an account, for there actually to be a little sign-up box for you to get a Gmail account. That's the only step left, really. And I thought the random visitors to Google's main page was pretty interesting, because there had to be people hearing those the talk about that and just sitting there refreshing until they got a Gmail invite link. But, of course, there are so many Gmail invites out there now that really doesn't have that... that influence and effect it once had. I remember when people were selling Gmail invites on eBay for quite a bit of money. And of course, they were really valuable among forums and different online communities. So hopefully they'll open it up and everyone will have 1 gigabyte of storage. Quite interesting. All right, that's all I got for today. We're at about 23 minutes. Let me play some non-RIAA music outro here. This is from Peter Adams. This is The Disappointed. You can vote for the Everything Digital podcast on Podcast Alley. You can do that on everythingdigital.org. You can also post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. You can email me at alan@everythingdigital.org or Skype me everythingdigital. You can AOL Instant Messenger IM me, podcaster, and I will start putting an available message while I'm doing a show that the Everything Digital podcast is on the air, similar to Michael Butler's deal. But he's got that the whole chat going, which is pretty cool. But I don't think enough people would participate to really make it worth it to start a chat and get the instructions up on how to do that. But you can IM me while I'm doing the show, and I'll have an available message up on AIM, so you'll know when I'm doing it. You can also call 484-737-0669 and leave an audio comment. Other than that, thanks for listening, and stay subscribed. Sorry about that. Slipped on the mouse. Okay, enjoy this non-RIAA music.